speaking with us today. Super excited to get into it with you.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, I got my wife
here with
a new house, so that's what's. I'm like, I'm scared of it.
Oh, yeah, how's the new house?
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah. But yeah, Wi-Fi got in yesterday, so I was like testing in all the rooms. I'm like, please work.
Getting settled in, huh?
That's so you fun. Literally moved into a new house yesterday?
Well, this weekend. Yeah, we closed on a week ago yesterday, and we've been like all Labor Day weekend we were moving. So, but yeah, it really is my dream home. So you come to Nashville, it's a party pad.
Oh, we're coming. I'll be there in 3-4 hours after that interview. I'm leaving.
Are you coming up?
No, I'll give you a better heads up than that.
No, get it. Come up here for.
I know you got an. Party. Your daughter's got the event tonight, right?
What's that?
Your daughter has an event tonight, right?
Yeah. We'll probably be streaming that live. I'll stream it live for sure. But that's her EP release party tonight.
Yeah, Jesse. Steve's daughter is a up and coming country music star.
No pop. Pop.
What's that?
Where is she based out of?
She's into indie pop, not country.
Oh, indie pop. Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Sabrina Carpenter and Olivia Rodrigo type music.
Nice.
Like all.
And where does she live?
With us.
Nashville.
Okay.
Yeah, we're in Nashville.
I was going to say, are you in Nashville? Chris says country music. I'm like, well.
I know. That's why I was thinking.
It's damn.
My light down. One second before we get.
Everybody here is country, but, you know, she's really, has a vibe for pop, and it stands her out, too, but we'll see what happens. I mean, you never know. I mean, there's a lot of crossover this day and age, so you never know.
Does she write her own music?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, usually the way it works, most of them co-write, so, you know, she does a lot of ride-arounds, so, like, she did a writer's round last night, and, but she meets up with a whole bunch of people, and... You know, they all get a piece of the music. So she'll go and write for somebody else, but she's writing a lot of her shit. But yeah, they usually got to give up a percentage of it.
That's cool. Where does she get that from?
Meaning, what do you mean? Her
musical, the musical gene.
Well, I do karaoke very bad. So, I mean, if anything, I'm kind of like the stage guy. So when she gets up on stage, she's really good up on stage. When she gets behind closed doors, she's an introvert. Yeah. So it's like Jenna 2.0 versus Jenna 1.0. So it's kind of fun.
That's interesting. I feel like that a lot of creatives and musically inclined people are like that, though.
Yeah.
It's like they come out of their shell. They get on stage, they come out of their shell, they go off, and then they're back to introverted.
Yeah, everybody thinks she's me on stage. And I mean, like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So, but other than that, she'll be in her room and, you know what I mean? Like, she's your typical teenager, you know what I mean?
I was going to say, how old is she?
19. So, yeah, we moved down here just to, you know, help pursue the dream. And it's fun. It's kind of like a new, this is my, just so you know about me, Jesse, I started up, this is my third company. And so I feel like my daughter's the fourth company. So that's the way I love startups, and I read startups on all the time. I hate the big companies.
Same. I'm not a great employee. I got to say that. I am I don't do well with like too much restriction.
Structure.
Well, yeah, structure/ rules.
Well, let's get the show on the road because I know I got a meeting at 11 o'clock my time. I just was looking at the clock, so I didn't know.
So, hey, we're here with Steve Rustler today. Super excited. Best known for his hair and his amazing speaking engagements, animated personality. Steve, glad to have you.
What up, Chris? All good, man. I didn't do the hair high and tight, especially. I got a cut on the sides for you. And... You know, I used my big sexy hair because that's what I got to use.
We certainly have hair wars. We see each other at the conferences. And it is no mistake that we have both our significant others are in the hair business. So they work on our hair, right?
That's right. That's where I get my hair.
Oh. Me, I just do the easy way out here.
Yeah. You save $30 a month.
Exactly.
So, Steve, let's jump into it. Let's talk first about your background, because it's a pretty interesting background. You don't come from the car business. So give us some background on where you came from.
Yeah, you know, well, I mean, without going into the – I'm an engineer by trade, by degree. So I did mechanical engineering, graduated from Missouri. I always knew I wanted to be in sales, but I wanted to sell something technical. I didn't want to sell, like, pencils or anything like that. So the counselor said, go get a degree because I love math. So I did engineering sales for about 5 years, and then a buddy of mine got me into medical, and just like many people get in the medical industry, you start off being a pharmaceutical rep, right? You know, carrying the bag is what you call it. But the pinnacle was getting surgery. So I did surgery type stuff with Medtronic or just some other various devices for the OR. And then I got into, I learned very quickly.
Those orthopedic devices?
It's more on the neuro side for spinal cord stimulators, deep brain stimulators. So anybody with neuropathic pain or maybe spasticity. So if somebody got into a major car accident, they would put in a pump and a drug called baclofen, and it like releases like the muscles. So people, you know, can actually, you know, instead of being like this, they could actually stretch their arm. I saw some miracles, you know. The one thing though, just, you know, talking like with Jesse, we both hate corporate America. I was working for Medtronic, and I learned at a very early age that when you own 90% of the market, it's hard to grow to 91 or 92. And so the competitors were coming in, so I got laid off at Medtronic. And so I got my first taste of startup in St. Louis with a company called Dynalabs. And so anyway, I got into pharmacy type stuff and learning drugs and testing drug stability, just some of the things you take for granted in going into compounding pharmacies and big hospitals all across the country. And so that was my first startup. And then somebody else asked me to start up another company. So I did 16 years of startup in the medical industry. And then obviously a buddy of mine knew I love CRM, because I use CRM at every company I've ever worked for. I would never go to a company that didn't have a CRM. And he goes, hey, I want you to take a look at something. Well, we went up to his house at 1 a.m. drinking beer after a long night of poker. And he showed me, you know, the mobile app and where you could shoot video in a CRM. I go, this is the future, man. This is the future. And I go, I would love this in the medical industry. He goes, how would you like to do it in automotive? And that's where we just started talking about getting into automotive. And here we are today, 10 years later. It's kind of the wildest thing.
That is wild.
What do you like most about the automotive industry?
You know, going from you know, the medical industry, as you can imagine, you know, I'm a wild personality. Imagine me in the OR, you know, you got to have your arms behind your back. You got to be straight faced. You got to, you know, you can't be, I mean, you can be fun. Don't get me wrong, but you just got to watch what you're doing in the medical industry. You know, you go in a hospital, you just don't know the environment, what patients are going through. Here in the automotive industry, I mean, I'm more myself than I am anything else. I think I was ripe for this industry. But I think coming from all these different backgrounds, I think has really helped, you know, us transform the auto industry to doing something different. I mean, I've always studied like patients' behavior in the medical industry. I was a patient advocate, and now I study the customer, and I'm a customer advocate. So everything we preach on the drive-centric side, we study the customer's behavior to teach dealerships how to leverage our product and get better, you know, with the customer's experience and provide better reactions to them. So I think just being myself is, you know, more, I think I feel like I was meant, like I said, for this industry.
There is a stark contrast between selling to doctors versus car dealers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of interesting. I remember being in the OR and, you know, the way you got to teach like a doctor, like let's say, you know, Jesse, you're on the OR table, and let's say they're putting in an epidural needle into your spine, right? I mean, there are some doctors, I mean, I can tell you, I wouldn't go to a hospital and have that doctor operate on me. I mean, you know, like on the medical side, you know who's a good doctor and you know who's a bad doctor. It's no different like saying who's a good dealership and who's a bad dealership. You know, don't go to that dealership. Don't go to that doctor kind of thing. There's a lot of similarities in every industry. But yeah, I mean, it, like, you remember having to say, hey, doctor, you may want to go a little shallower on that needle to get in the epidural space, you know, because he was struggling. So you can't say, doctor, you're an idiot, you know what I mean? Because you have all the nurse anesthetists around, and you have the first assist, you have the second assist, and the scrub nurses all around. You can't make them look like an idiot. So there's an art to it.
Wow.
Can you talk a little bit about DriveCentric and what the company is, what you do, and what you think is sort of the advantage of DriveCentric?
Oh, start, man, with your title, please. You have an interesting title.
Yeah, and so I'll tell you how that title came out, because it is kind of funny. The actual title, Jesse, you ready for this, is Chief Evangelist Officer. People are like, what the hell does that mean?
On your LinkedIn.
That's right.
I saw that. I was going to ask about that, so we can just – well, you know, kill two birds with one stone here.
I'm always going to give plugs. Carrie Weiss, I met her at Colorado, you know, when she worked at AutoTrader. Wait, AutoTrader? I forget which one now. She's probably going to get mad at me which one I forgot. But anyway, it doesn't matter. TrueCar. She was at TrueCar. And she was doing all these speaking engagements, and I just said, how do you do with what you do? Because we were just starting up, just like what you guys are. And I just said, I love you going around and just, you're always on stage. And she goes, well, I'm the Chief Evangelist Officer. I said, I love that title. You know, and as we grew, you know, I'm basically the head cheerleader. That's basically what the title stands for. So I'm doing interviews. I'll get up on stage. I'm kind of like the flow of Progressive Insurance, or, you know, I mean, whoever you see on TV, that's essentially what I was in the medical industry. And now I am in the car industry, right? I'm the face of the company. And I take that very seriously, right? I got to represent the company well. And what we wanted to build at DriveCentric was something very different. You know, all these CRMs are built to be database platforms. You know, you guys are just like us using either Salesforce or HubSpot. You know, we use Salesforce. And, you know, all these CRMs are all database platforms. So if you study the customer's behavior, and, you know, again, we've had a lot of time to do this, but the customers are just buying cars so fast that we saw kind of like an opportunity, if you will, to develop what we call an engagement platform. Now, we're still a CRM, you know, you can database management, you know, the system, but we wanted to focus on making sure that customers in this digital showroom are being more visible. So we go out there and teach, obviously, CRM 101, but now we're teaching customer or dealerships how to engage back much faster with all the tools readily at their fingertips. So we're teaching them things, obviously, phone calls and emails. You know, that's what every CRM does. But you guys know, nobody picks up the freaking phone if you're not in somebody's record. Emails are kind of like a CYA. Actually, I'm on record to say emails are nocturnal activity. Okay? So if you just think about that, it'll make sense. But, you know, but everybody is texting, you know, video, Zooms, live streaming, and all that stuff. And then, you know, implemented artificial intelligence. These are all the tools we built inside Drive. So dealers don't have to, like I always say, these other legacy CRMs, they were built when we were all using Nokia phones. So they use the word integrate a lot. I integrate with this. I integrate with that. I integrate with this. I integrate with that. And that is just a recipe for disaster. I say it's like a Nokia phone connected up to your fax machine or your pager. And we just do everything all in one, kind of like an Apple-type setting, which makes the dealerships way more effective and efficient to manage in one, like, tool. So now we do integrate with companies, but our whole method, just going back, is to go out there and teach SOARs something other than database management, but teach them how to engage much more productively with these customers faster.
And one of the things that I've seen you speak a few times at conferences, and your constant theme is engagement.
You got it.
Right. So, and you see the CRM being an engagement tool.
Correct.
To engage the customer.
Yeah. Well, just think about this. I mean, like, here's what a dealership will study. And any dealer watching this, you'll know what I'm going to say. We're obviously in September, but here's what they measure. They go out there and say, how many internet leads did we get for August? Okay. How many appointments did we schedule? How many show? How many delivered? That is so 1980. Okay. So the new way of doing it is, if I got 100 internet leads, what's your engagement rate of those internet leads? Now, statistically, it's been studied that it's between 30 and 35%. So let's use an analogy of baseball. If I give you 35 fastballs, how many of those do you knock out of the park? 50% of them, let's just say. So that's 18 appointments. Well, if I can help you get an engagement level to 70%, which is what we're helping our dealerships get, I'm giving you more fastballs. Keep your conversion at 50%. You scheduled 35 appointments out of 70. So,
and how are you achieving that with a higher engagement rate?
And also, like, you know, you talk about this shift from managing data to focusing on customer engagement.
Yep.
If you could also hit on some of the key engagement metrics that you encourage dealerships to look at and why, that would be helpful.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I'll hit on that first. So you know that everybody is texting. So a lot of our stores are using artificial intelligence. And the fact of the matter is AI is here. You know, we've been talking AI for over 10 years. But now with the technology of, you know, ChatGPT, we're putting a lot of ChatGPT inside Drive. So the AI is more conversational right there with the customer in all different situations. So when an internet lead comes in, and there's other AI tools that do the same thing, they'll reach out, text, and email in 2 to 3 minutes. Now, if you study the customer's buying behavior, that's what they expect. You actually get higher closing ratios when you engage, not just reach out, engage the customer in less than 5 minutes. So that's what, if we can help the dealership get engagement quicker, the customer, if they're going out there reaching out to three different like stores or two different stores, the first person to get engagement wins. It's just the way it works. So yeah, so, you know, obviously if you're there, if AI is texting an email, then salespeople or BDC will make a phone call and send a video. So we're practicing all four methods of communication right there as fast as you can do it. But the AI is there to serve as the immediate response. Now, you know, some of the tools that we're leveraging, like video, if you go out there, there was just a study came out from 35 stores from the Gee Automotive Group. Because video is adding a good touch, you know, it's like everybody says, oh, we do a good customer experience. Well, how do you know that? The video is all about providing a positive reaction to that customer. Whether you make them laugh or you give them some information, how do they react to that video versus a text where you're only reading and getting 7% of the communication? So video is all about a phone on steroids, in my opinion. So if I'm sending a video and I'm warming up and I like that customer, I like what they're saying, they're being empathetic to me, they're wishing me happy birthday, they're confirming appointments, things of that nature, then that's going to create a positive reaction on customers so they come in and buy. And that study from that 35-car store, they're actually adding another $1,600 of gross to the front and the back. That's been studied. So it just goes to show, if you humanize the car buying experience, you can not only sell more cars, but even add more gross to your bottom line.
So can you give us examples of some type of videos that, you know, drive that type of engagement?
Oh, my gosh. Woo! That's a whole presentation in itself. But, yeah, I mean, like, look, some of the videos, obviously, that dealerships do are the typical walk-arounds and internet lead videos. Those have been taught to death. We're teaching our stores how to do confirm appointments. Some of the dealerships have studied, like, if you do an appointment video the day of the appointment, you get over an 80% show rate. You know, on the
are you showing yourself? Or is it showing the salesperson? Hey, this is Chris Snellgrove. I'm excited to meet with you today.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we encourage. Again, somebody may not want to show themselves. They say, hey, the car's here. I look forward to seeing you at 2 o'clock. You know, we encourage them to show themselves and, like, even go through the car wash, get the car cleaned up, get the car gassed up for that appointment at 2 o'clock or whatever it may be. But, again, if 80% of those customers show up the day of that appointment because of a video, that's a direct correlation to do the right activity at the right time. One of the other things, too, is let's say, Chris, you don't show up to my 2 o'clock appointment. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send you a missed appointment video. You know, I'm going to send you a ghosting video. I'm going to do a birthday. I'm going to do an anniversary. I can do, like, we're teaching general managers how to say just thank you to the customer that bought the car yesterday because it's right there at their fingertips. You know, I don't have to go use another tool. You know, video is video. So, I mean, but in Drive, it's built in. So I just have to press a button and do the video. And that's what we just go out there and love to teach people are the new methodologies to communicate with these customers in this modern world we're in.
And it's really designed to set you apart when someone's shopping for an automobile and they're looking at, let's say, the same brand. They're looking at a Ford. they're probably shopping more than one Ford store.
Totally.
So the inventory is very similar. The sale prices are similar. The incentives are the absolute same. Locations, the facilities a little bit different, but the defining difference is the experience that,
yeah,
that you would deliver.
Here's the data, and I should have maybe said this earlier, but look, 70% of customers are buying a car within 4 business days. If you go out to 10 days, it's 80%. Now, what's interesting, if you strip out and just look at used vehicles, it's 90% in 10 days. Because there's so much information to us as consumers, I don't have to go to a dealership to learn about a car. Hell, I could go to a Facebook group and join an F-150 and talk to all the customers driving an F-150 so I get better knowledge from people driving it. What should I be looking for? What are the things I should be asking the dealership for? Yada, yada, yada. What are your experiences with F-150? And that's what I think the car industry doesn't give credit to the customer as far as research in their vehicles, because that's what Google says. Google says the average customer is researching the cars like 15 to 17 hours before they send in that internet lead, they call your store, or they walk in your store. So customers want to buy. They don't want to be sold. It's a fundamental difference. So if I can help stores understand the data, a lot of our stores are getting rid of all their templates. So you talk about differentiating yourself. Just talk to the freaking customer. Don't send a template. I mean, if a customer is buying a car in 4 days, if a customer is buying your product in 4 days, Chris or Jesse, why would you ever send a template to a customer? Just, oh, yeah, 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 here you go. Here's my product. You wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. It's just
they do it because it's easy. It takes right. It's the easy way instead of taking the effort to do it the right way.
Exactly. People are in what we call doing the task, do the task mode. They're not doing the task at engagement mode. And fundamentally, that's a difference in the dealership world that we're trying to just fundamentally change. It's a culture shift. And if you go out there and think about any company that has started. And again, we're very fortunate, you know, very blessed of what we've been doing and our success. But that's the fun part about what we're doing. It really is. It's not selling a CRM. It's changing the culture and watching our stores catapult to learn how to implement new processes versus having business rules going out 120 days. Are you kidding me? Just give your salespeople a freaking phone book, you know?
You talk about this shift and this transformation of how buyers are getting information, how they're buying cars. I guess how do you convince dealers that they should prioritize engagement metrics over more traditional KPIs, and that's going to actually translate into sales and long-term success?
One of the things we do is, we network our dealerships together. I mean, you know, it's hard to change that philosophy. You know what I mean? I mean, and I totally get it. I mean, I've been there. I'm everybody's human. Everybody's always going to gravitate to what they know. But if they listen to the data, and I've been to many conferences where they show data and they go, instead of going with your gut, go with the data. You just got to listen to it, and it's scary. But at least give it a solid effort of 6 months. Try it the way, and I've done this with dealerships. Like, it's like the challenge, right? Do like the ice bucket challenge or do whatever challenge it is. Just try it and tell me that it doesn't work. You know what I mean? And prove me wrong, and you can put an egg in my face. I don't care. I get a lot of dealerships. If I tell you to quit smoking and it'll save 10 years on your life and you don't quit smoking – that's the data, right? I mean, but that's the fun part about the job. So, and what we do too is we'll bring dealerships into a conference we do called DC20, and it's time for dealerships to network with one another. And one of the things structurally we do is we try to bring in the dealerships that are kind of old school, and we bring them in so they can work with progressive dealerships, and they could, the progressive dealers help change their mindset. And we got so many great successes, but a lot of times, you know, we target the people that may not like drive, may not understand drive, maybe they're on the fence about drive, and they come in and they just like, oh, I never thought of it like that. That makes a lot of sense. So it's an alert.
That makes sense.
That event's coming up, right, Steve?
Say that again.
You broke up.
Oh, we do. It's next week in St. Louis. But, yeah, we do three events a year. It's a free event, and we do it for mostly drive-centric stores, but we'll also do it for, you know, people that are interested in drive. People I know are just trying to learn more, so we'll open it up to others. But right now, it's a great retention play on us, but we leverage the dealers. The dealers are up on stage and teaching other stores, like changing the culture of video. Like that guy, Jay Kales, who's going to be showing the study from Gee Automotive Group, he's going to be showing his study and how to start measuring video as part of the success at the dealerships. We'll have Champ Automotive doing stuff on marketing and showing metrics that dealerships don't know about when it comes to marketing. And that's not really drive-centric related. But we highlight stores that are doing things progressively to help our dealerships grow. And really,
I saw Katie Maris she was on our last episode of this podcast was Katie. So,
oh, Katie, yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah. Great interview. But yeah, I saw that she was involved with this one coming up too.
She is. And you know, just to give her a nice little plug, I mean, what I always look for is I look for synergies within people or companies to help highlight the same message. Because I think what dealerships, just like in any other industry, if you start networking with the right people and they have the same message, the dealer hears the same message. That's why, like, it's important. Like, you know, I'm working with Toyota Boston region. I'm like, what's the message you want to give to your dealerships? Because I'll do some education. Because I don't want to say anything that is off of the beaten path of the message you're trying to convey to the dealer. You want people to hear the same message so it sinks in versus opposite messages, you know? And if like, you guys are saying the same thing, because I know you guys are talking about reputation, you know, we talk about reputation as well. How do you create that message when dealership says, hey, I heard that before. And you know what? Then they start to listen to it because you're not an army of one, you're an army of like 3, 4, 5 people.
Yep. And we're really focused right now more on customer experience because really, if you don't focus first and foremost on the customer experience, nothing else matters. The reputation, the testimonials, the reviews, none of that matters if you're not focused on the most critical part of your business, and that's the customer experience.
Right. And, Chris, I'm going to point this out publicly. What did I tell you to change that to?
Customer encounters.
Positive
reactions.
Reactions,
yeah.
Well, you know, customer experience, and just so you can hear this, Jesse, and everybody else, is, you know, everybody says customer experience, and it's not tangible. It's not tangible. Mm-hmm. The only way you can measure customer experience is by understanding, did they buy a car, did they not buy a car, and then did they react to whatever you're doing? So if I send Jesse you a video, okay, and you react to an LOL, or you send me a video, or, you know, thank you very much, that video was awesome, excellent, whatever, that's reaction. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then you know you got something. So you got to read buying signals digitally this day and age. And that's a hard thing to teach.
Is that a synonym for intent and everybody talking about understanding buyer intent now, or is that something different?
I would say, I don't know. I guess you could say it's one of the same, but I would just say is, you know, when I'm looking at, if I'm selling drive-centric to somebody, I'm reading the digital conversation, and I can hear their tone, you know, I can predict and know what they're going to say. You know, it's sales, right? And so that's what I'm understanding is, are customers leaning towards drive? Or are they shying away? Just like they're, you know, it's sales. But if I'm selling drive-centric and I, you know, I'm sending them just like I got this guy in California. I'm teaching them, I'm sending them memes all the time. All right. And the guy was on vacation. I say, hey, man, are you on vacation? And he's ghosted me, you know, for a while. Then I hit him up last week or earlier this week. I'm sorry. And he picked up the phone. He actually thought, he goes, dude, I wish I could teach my sales guys the way you communicate. And I've been told that a lot of times because it's just refreshing. It's fun. It's, you know, it's not like, hey, you ready to do this deal? You know, why are you ghosting me? I'm sending memes and I'm mixing it up. And so I'm always trying to get buying signals through my communication if they won't pick up the phone. So I don't know if you want
to. Yeah, that makes sense. And do you think that there is you talk about emojis and you talk about like SMS and GIFs and memes.
Memes, yeah. It sounds conventional.
Do you think that the way that dealerships often communicate is too stuffy and too corporate.
Absolutely.
And is not how people actually communicate.
Yes. Like, I can't, like, this is, like, I'm showing you right now. Those are my memes right there, all right? So, I mean, you can see, like, if somebody, like, now I'll send that bottom one if somebody is, you know, doing something. But yeah, I've got all sorts of.
What's the app that you use, Steve?
Well, now it's on Apple. It's got sticker and stuff like that. But there's my ghosting one. I always love to send that one.
I like that one a lot.
You know? But yeah, I mean, I just create a whole library of them. And the whole idea is keeping my face in front of the customer. I'm branding myself. That's what I mean. If I'm going to be the face of the company, I'm going to go out there and I've got a situation for everything. So a customer, for example, like let's just talk situation selling right here. One of my favorite ones I love to send to people is this guy right here. If somebody said, you know how somebody has that, I'll give you a call back in 5 to 10 minutes, like stupid text back that nobody changes. I hit him back. I'm like, promise. And you know, and I always get an LOL. Where like the memes, like tap the glass. That's one of my favorite memes of all time. You just type in tap the glass and tap the glass in Jiffy, and it's the, you know, little girl poking a fish glass, you know. And I send that to customers ghosting me. So I've got a situation for every GIF in my mind, and, you know, so those are some of the things. Now, those are all in drive-centric, or how to use an emoji. And I'm not saying I'm the emoji king. I'm more the GIF king. But, you know, I can tell you what half the emoji. Like, I didn't know, like, you know, the salute. I'll tell you, this was kind of like my old man. I didn't know what the salute one was because I was like, it's half an emoji. I had no idea what the fuck that was.
Oh,
you know, glasses on, and so I said, "What the hell is this emoji?" I did a whole TikTok on it, and everybody kind of laughed at it. But showing my,
there's the one where the two people are like giving each other like a hug almost, and I couldn't figure out what the hell that was for the longest time. And then I look closer, and I'm like, "Oh, it's two people. Like they're, you know, one's got the other like giving him like a greeting."
Yeah, you know, but it just like it's like. Anytime you can decorate your communication, it just adds tonality to it. I mean, you know, just, I don't know, you know, like if my wife sends me a book via text, I'm going to have one of y'all read it and ask her if she pissed off at me, right? You know, and I don't want to read a book, you know, I'm ADD, ADHD, you know, I'm self-diagnosed, but I always tell her, give me a freaking call. I'm not going to read your freaking text. And you know, But the whole idea is with text, it's black and white, and you can read any text based on your emotional, like, status that day, you know, and people take things out of context all the time. That's why it's 7%. And when you get people on the phone, you add 38%. And when you know, get people face to face, it's all about body language, 56% or 58%, whatever it is. But, you know, and that's what video can bring is 100% of your overall communication and nothing's being misinterpreted.
I mean, it sounds to me like having been part of CRM rollouts and onboardings before and seeing how much change management is involved just to get people to change their behavior when it comes to their processes and their sales, and then you're also putting on top of that what sounds like a really major cultural change as well. So it's sort of like double change management that you're going for here. I've got to think you're really good at change management, and you could probably give some tips around some of the keys to it.
Yeah, no, give you an idea. Like it's not as bad as what you think. I mean, here's what most people have to worry about are usually like business. Their data is going to be number one concern. Okay, so we get the data from any CRM, just like the other CRMs do. We have what's called a script, and it just transfers over the data. But that's the number one concern from any dealer, making sure. And look, everybody in the industry does a really good job with that. I mean, the technology is just there to do it. But when you talk about, let's just talk about business rules. I've got to change all my business rules over in drive-centric. What if I told you get rid of 80% of your business rules? It's not a big lift. Most of our stores come on board and their business rules go to 14 days or less. Why is that? Well, we just talked about doing the right activity at the right time. I want salespeople to value where the customers are buying so they can be more reactive, right? They want to value a day 3 task versus a day 30 task or a day 60 task. And anybody that is on the dealership side knows that your people are buried in workflows. And that's why they're losing deals. So we're putting the priority where the customers are buying and let AI take care of it. Number two, we get rid of a lot of templates. You don't have to upload all your templates. We have stores with zero templates. So, I mean, just think of all the barriers now. So if I get rid, we have some stores, literally, Jesse, with no business rules. Now, I'm not suggesting a store coming on board doing that, but that you can gravitate. We literally, we have, that's at our DC 20. We have a, the number one Lexus store in the world operates their store with no business rules in their B2C department.
Wow.
Yeah.
How does that work? Can you talk more about that? I mean, that just is crazy to me.
They're focused on engagement. I mean, and again, what we have is we have, like, reports and you have buckets, and you could always track by the last engagement. So your workflow is, like, here's what I like to teach, and I don't know how you teach your salespeople, but in the way I was taught for follow-up, and again, this was non-retail, but I would do Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday. It was every other day. So in drive-centric, what a lot of people will do is follow up with the gap of the last attempt. So we have a column that says last attempt, and you don't let your last attempt gap get 2 days. That's it. And you go based on the priority. It's not hard. And then when you go out, if they get to 14 days and there's no engagement, then they let the AI take over. It's not hard, but now you start working your work plan from what we call our pipeline. And it's so refreshing because now I'm doing the right activity at the right time versus trying to go through and cipher through my work plan. Plus, if you get a 70% engagement, Jesse, now your people have time to respond to customers. You know, because the salespeople in BDC, they're told, get your work plan done. You got to make 100 phone calls, 50 emails a day, or some, or 40 type of metric. That's database management or telltale sales. If you have, you know, 20 customers talking your store, that's equivalent to 20 customers physically in your showroom. They're just in the digital showroom. And if I ask any dealer who's watching this, how many customers are talking in a digital showroom? The answer is you don't know. And they can't see it, so they can't manage to it, and that's why it's costing them deals. We focus on the digital showroom customer so they become better responders. So instead of being a task monkey all over on their work plan, they're responding monkeys to customers looking, I say a respond monkey to customers talking to them. You got to respond to these customers in less than 10 minutes.
Really interesting.
It's fun, man. It's a refreshing message. I mean, I know it may seem difficult, but I mean, it is so much fun to watch people when they listen to the data and react to it. And then when they implement it, okay, they go back to what they know. I'm like, hey, remember, this is an engagement platform. You got to think if there's 20 customers right there talking to your store. And when I show them, like, holy cow, now I see what you're talking about because it's their data. It's eye opening. I still remember talking to, one of the really big Toyota store. They just converted. I was seeing them at NADA, and I called them up. I said, dude, you have 60 customers talking to your store. And he goes, well, where's that at? I go, the sidebar. He goes, well, what does that mean? I go, they're talking to you about buying a car. He goes, I got to go. Because he never saw that before. And it's hard. It's just change management. But you just got to reprioritize their focus when they see it. And then when it's their store, then they jump all over it.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting.
Yeah, it's fun.
Chris, your mic is not...
Check. What's the key to implementation, like getting buy-in? Or more importantly, behavioral change from the newly acquired client?
Well, it's like anything else. You got to get the managers on board. I mean, it all starts from the top. I think the biggest... change is literally getting their buy-in, and they'll see the vision, they buy into the vision, but then again, just like what I said earlier, you just got to stay on top of them. And we got a great support team. So usually a store comes on board and they do like bi-monthly meetings for the first, couple of months, 3 months, whatever they want to do. And then they go out there because it's usually the same thing, right? I mean, you guys know, you guys are putting this stuff in, you're saying the same message and it's not sinking in to like that fifth or sixth meeting, right? So then we move on to something else. And that's the whole idea is create the behavioral change and say, hey, guys, you have 8 appointments today. You didn't send one darn video. And you just say, so how are you going to do that? And then we have some video best practices that we love to teach and show what other stores are doing with video. And then they go, oh, we can do that. So it all starts with, you know, once they get started, you just got to stay on top of it. And just like anybody goes to a trade show, they're like drinking out of a fire hose. What do I start with? What do I come back with? You drive centric, it's kind of like drinking out of a fire hose. So you just got to nibble a little bit at it at a time. And we focus on things like being a better responder, because indirectly we know that the customer stays engaged with that dealership. They indirectly just sell more cars. And then, you know, video. You know, we brush them up on video. And then we show the managers how to manage the digital showroom and do a better job one-on-one with their salespeople. And if you do those three things, you indirectly sell more cars.
Nice.
Let's pull out a moment and just talk about life in general. How do you define success, Steve?
Oh, man, it's probably changed for me over the years, man. Gosh, man, I like to my definition of success over the years has been just having a high integrity company. I think that's when you go out there and you build something and you're getting recognized for something you're doing that's changing the industry. I'd like to think, you know, again, I came from a different background, so I'm not a car guy. So, you know, and I'm not, no disrespect to anybody, but, you know, if I ever lied, cheated, and steal in the medical industry, I would be ostracized from that hospital. And I can't take away that, you know, 16 years in my head. And so I might not be saving a life, but I feel like I'm saving a dealership. So that's the way I approach starting up our company. And we can't do something, I tell everybody straight up, you can't do it, even though they may not like the answers. We're not perfect for everybody, but we approach it the right way. And I think our success as a company, in the industry, I'd like to think we're just a high integrity company. And that's why I love it when people call me up and they ask me my opinion on certain companies. And that to me speaks volume. That's like a doctor asking me, hey, what do you think of this product going to this patient type of thing? And that's kind of like what I wanted to build within our organization. And I think we become a resource to dealerships, whether they're on drive or not. And I think that's what I call success. I think for any of the companies we help build, that to me is very, very important. Cause then you generate referrals that way. Indirectly, if you build a high integrity company, you're perceived a lot differently. So
sure. Who do you look to for inspiration? You know, speakers that you look up to or authors, who inspires you?
Yeah, you know, my managers in other industries I've always looked up to. They, you know, taught me a lot in other industries, which helped me mold to be who I am today. But, you know, I mean, just, you know, I love stories from – because I feel like I'm in that. I may not have had the hardship, but, you know, like Glenn Lundy. I love Glenn Lundy. I love his story of rising from, you know, literally nothing into where he is today. I love those types of stories. I've always just, from my managers, I never had time. You know, when you're starting up a company, I don't read books. I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't read books, but I love listening. Like when I go out there, Bill Whitmire, okay, he worked at ELEAD. He's now with another organization. But, you know, when I first got in the car industry, I watched a lot of people speak. And when I saw Whitmire was my competitor, I went and watched him speak. And he'll tell you, I told him this. I said, man, you were the guy that I kind of watched as I evolved into the auto industry. So Whitmire had a lot of just the way he presented. I felt like there was a lot of synergies there. I got the pleasure of listening to Grant Cardone speak, and I took something away that he did. I mean, I know Grant Cardone, you can love him or hate him. But, you know, at one of Glenn's events, I got to meet him. And he has a lot of the same personality I do. I think it could be misrepresented in social. But I love when he said, like, you're either – collaborating with me or I'm clobbering you. I love that. And that's the way I kind of feel about business. I always say, if you're with me or against me type of thing. And I have that same mindset, is I'm always looking for people to collaborate with. I love collaborating. So, I mean, just people like that. Gary Vee, obviously I watched some of his stuff.
Yep.
Picked up some things. And that's the thing. You go outside the industry and you watch what other people are doing and saying, and then you can implement it into the car industry. So,
sure.
Yeah, I say you're either in or you're in the way.
That's true.
A little bit back on the industry, what would you say is the main thing that dealerships get wrong when it comes to engagement?
Oh, they don't know what it is. That's very easy. They don't know what it is. You ask a dealership, what's your engagement rate? They'll say, well, what does that mean? You know, and it's, you know, which again, I come from a different background, but it's just, to me, it's always, you know, makes sense. So you just got to put it into language like, hey, you're spending all this money in marketing. What's your engagement rate? And they don't know. And they'll say, well, what, we reach out to 100% of everybody. That doesn't mean they all reach back out to you. That's engagement, you know? And so part of that is understanding, like, if I talk to a customer that's an internet lead, what's my conversion of an engaged customer to a visit? That's really the measurement you're tracking. So that's why I say it's a very simple formula for any dealer. If you can talk to more customers, you schedule more appointments, and you sell more cars. That's the trick to selling more cars. That's it. So if you can't engage a customer, how the hell are you going to get them in, Jesse?
Kind of. I know that we're coming up on the hour here, and you've got some stuff you got to do. But Chris, you want to ask a final question or two?
Yeah, I mean, you know, one question I always like to ask is, what do you want to be known for?
Oh gosh, what do I want to be known for? Heck, man, I really do. I always want to be a resource. I think that's in the auto industry. I do study the customer's behavior, and you try to get to know every company. You know, it's hard. You know, when you guys are growing and you know everybody's busy, I'm being stretched a lot of different directions. I used to go out there and spend time with like your company. Like, you know, tell me a little bit about your company so I get educated about other products. And I used to do that quite a bit in the first 5 years of my career. And I wish I could go back and do that. But I'd like to always be a resource to a dealer. That's always what we want to be, is we want to be helpful. We want to help them sell more cars. And we just want to be a good partner. So I would always say just being a resource to everybody. Whether you're on drive or not, that's the way we want to be.
Cool. And if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to reach out to you? And what else do you have coming up? Do you like to plug or anything else?
Gosh, man, it's like trade show season coming up, guys. What show aren't we going to? But yeah, no, you guys can always reach out to me. I'm all over on social. You know, just ping me. You know, I'm the Live or Drive guy, Steve Wrestler. I mean, go to my social, DM me, slip it into the DM message, as we say, right? Okay. But no, I mean, the show's coming up. I mean, obviously, we got DC20 next week. Digital Dealer's coming up. And then MRC's coming up. What other thing? Oh, I got to go to Hawaii. And my first trip to Hawaii, I get to go to the California Dealer Association meeting in Hawaii. That's pretty cool, baby.
That's very cool.
So, yeah, I've never been to Hawaii, so I'm scared to death for that one-day flight there and one-day flight back. But, you know, other than that,
you're going to love it.
Hawaii.
Well worth it.
Yeah.
You are going to love it. It's awesome.
So
cool. Well, you've been a fantastic guest. We will not take up any more of your time because I know you got places to be. But it's been great getting to talk to you and getting to know you a little bit.
Well, and Jesse, I'm going to challenge you, man. Before I get off every interview, I'm going to stretch you, baby. I want to hear you say your best Live with Drive.
Oh my. Okay,
let's hear you, Jesse. Come on, baby.
Live with Drive.
That's all right.
Live with Drive. Live with Drive. We're going to have to edit out.
And I knew Chris.
Let's hear the master. You can take us out.
Yeah, yeah.
What? Take us out with what? The Live with Drive?
Yeah.
All right, guys. Hey, this is Steve Russell, the Live with Drive guy. Out.
Okay. It's been awesome, man.
Thank you so much.
Take it easy.